Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast with Karenna. I am your podcast host, Karenna Soto, and this is a show where we have different conversations that truly invite you into living a life fully expressed, finding relationships where you feel the most expressed self, and how to show up in your professional career and business as your fullest expressed self. This month, we've been doing everything around mental health. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to the previous episode that came out last week. It was episode number 36. It was with my fiance, Nick Belletto, who is a holistic practitioner, and he vulnerably opened up about how his mental health has impacted him for honestly most of his life and how difficult it got towards the end of 2022 going into 2023 and how he was able to support himself through food and nutrition and different practices that have truly helped him optimize his capacity. And so when it comes to optimizing your capacity, especially when you are deeply in struggling with your mental health, it can feel like you don't have a lot of capacity to navigate and be with the life struggles. Everything feels very heavy. You kind of fall into a very, very negative mindset. You're thinking that you're never going to get out of situation. Your self-thoughts are pretty, pretty heavy. And Nick really covered what it was like to work through that and help your body regulate so you can increase your capacity to be with all of life. So make sure to go listen to that episode. On today's episode, we're actually going to chat a little bit about what it's like to be in relationship with someone that is struggling with their mental health and how you can continue to show up as your fullest expressed self. I think this is one episode that is very important to me and something that I had to learn to navigate on my own because there wasn't no guide. There was no place for me to go on Google and say, hey, my boyfriend is struggling with their mental health. I'm severely worried. What do I do? And a lot of the times, the kinds of things that I would Google would say, hey, like, please reach out to the mental hotline, or please make sure that you practice understanding and empathy and give them space. And all of that was super helpful. And it felt like common knowledge. But what does it actually look like to be in the weeds of it and process that? So we're going to be talking a little bit about that and how to support your loved one or a family friend, because it's one thing for us to struggle with our mental health. And I think when we're in our own personal struggles with mental health, I have never been someone that has been severely anxious or struggled with long-term depression, but I have struggled with anxiety in my life before. I have struggled with, I want to say, seasons of depression. I do struggle with seasonal depression. So the wintertime like really, really impacts me. So I have experienced sprinkles of it. I have not been deeply depressed. I never got formally diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I definitely had bulimia and an eating disorder. So I've struggled with my own mental health things. And I don't want to take away from my own experience because it was definitely drastically one of the hardest times in my life. And when you see someone that you love so much going through a hard season and you don't know what they need or what they want or how to help them without pushing them away or how to make what they're going through like not that big of a deal or like how to truly support them, it becomes one of the hardest seasons of life. And at least in my opinion, it was one of the hardest seasons of my life. And so I saw Nick like truly suffering, like truly fighting for his life sometimes each day. I never knew how we were going to wake up in the morning. I wasn't sure how much we were supposed to talk about the bad days compared to the good days. I wasn't sure how often I had to check in because I didn't want to overly check in, but I wanted to constantly check in. I didn't know if I was supporting him in the best way. And so if you have anyone in your life that you're feeling that way or you have felt that way in the past, I truly hope that you find this episode supportive for you in light of May being Mental Health Awareness Month. And I ask that if anyone comes to mind that may be struggling with someone else in their life that is going through a hard time or is going through the ups and downs and you don't know how to be with that, please share this with them. Because I am going to tactically walk through what it's like to support someone with their mental health. And I'm going to talk to how it's important for you as an individual supporting someone else with their mental health to not do yourself a disservice or to not bring yourself down because they are in a low place, which is so difficult to do in the moment. Because as you might have noticed, if you've had times in your life where you feel like the energy's off in a relationship, so you know something's wrong with them or they're sad, and so you want to consolidate them and give them your condolences and like love them through that, you know, your energy can shift too. And it's like you might ask yourself questions sometimes about, well, if they're sad, like how can I express my happiness? Like I had a really good day today and I don't want to ignore the fact that they're going through a hard time. And the truth is, you don't have to ignore what they're going through a hard time, and you don't need to ignore the fact that you're having a good day. So I'm going to tackle that at the end. But first, let's dive into this episode about what's actually happening when someone is struggling with their mental health. And for anyone that's listening, I am a trauma-informed somatic practitioner. So I do have a trauma-informed lens. I am not necessarily someone that can actually help someone process their trauma directly, but I can teach them how to regulate themselves and be with the sensations in their body and move through that into a safe space. But when it comes to trauma, I am not giving you necessarily medical advice, but I am giving you what I learned in my certification back in 2022. So the nervous system can be severely impacted by so many different factors. There isn't just one thing that is impacting your nervous system. Our nervous system is impacted by our environment, the foods that we eat, the people that we are in relationship with, how often we are around screens, how often we are outside, how much we're working, how much we're not working, how much stress we're putting on our body, how much we're working out, how much we're not working out. So there's many different things that are impacting our nervous system. And when you look at your system as a whole, we can fall into different trauma responses. And the different trauma responses are fight or flight. So fight or flight responses tend to be something along the lines of, I'm in a situation, I'm super stressed, I'm in fight or flight, I either need to move towards the thing or get the fuck out. So it's either like, I don't give a fuck and I'm going to lean into this thing and burst and yell and be expansive and really explosive in a way. Or you are might be someone that just can't deal with or navigate being with a trigger that makes you want to leave a situation. So basically get the fuck out. So that's how I like to look at fight or flight in short. The other two responses is a fawn response. So a fawn trauma response tends to be someone that falls into being hypervigilant. And let's say you are triggered and if you're hypervigilant towards everyone else around you, so automatically you become worried about the other person. You forget that you're experiencing what you're experiencing in your system, but you're just more hyper-focused on like, are they okay? Are they going to get mad at me? Are they not doing well? What can I do to make sure that I manage their situation? And so your focus and your eyes are totally focused on them. You're completely disconnected from your own body because you want to make sure that they're managing their experience, and your subconscious and your nervous system are trying to project you. So you are trying to manage their experience and so you don't get hurt. So nothing happens to your system. So you are in a fawn response. And the last one is a freeze response. So this is someone that is completely numb in their experience. They feel kind of emotionless. You find them very quiet. They don't really give you a lot of answers back. This tends to be someone that is spiraling in their mind, but they're not really present too. And I think all of these are trauma responses. And I think some of us really notice when we think about mental health as someone that might be in a freeze response. And so this can be like a deep, deep depression, deep disconnect from their emotions, completely disassociating from life and the challenges. There isn't much light or life when you are in this experience. And being in this experience is really, really difficult because, as its name, it's a freeze response. So someone is basically experiencing like feeling frozen in their experience. They're disconnected from what they're truly feeling. They're numbing out to the world as a way to protect them from the amount of discomfort and uncomfortable emotions that they're feeling. And so their system is so overwhelmed by the intensity of their emotions that they completely shut down. It's their way of trying to protect itself, trying to keep itself safe. And so something that I think is important to note that when you are in relationships with someone, whether they're romantically or platonically, or even like a business partner, so like professionally, and you notice that they're struggling with their mental health, the very first thing that I want you to step into is understanding and empathy. So a lot of the times we can get so hyper-focused on why are they not doing the thing that they should be doing? Or why are they showing up like that? Or maybe you think you're more in like in pointing fingers at them, like because they do this, like I feel uncomfortable in my situation. That is truly not helpful when someone is experiencing that, which is also difficult because when you are navigating someone that is deeply in their mental health, it can also be very triggering to you. And so you are also going through your own experience, but I just want to bring a level of understanding into this conversation because their emotions, their experience, their overwhelm, how activated their system is, and the spirals that they have going on in their mind is a lot. It's more than a person can handle, right? Which is why the system ends up going into a freeze response. It is something that, you know, our subconscious mind and our body automatically go into. And so as much as this person is about their process, their body is also kind of taking over their system in a lot of ways. And it's important to have that level of understanding. And something that I reflect on all the time, you know, having the blessing to be able to go through this experience with Nick, because it has given me so much more understanding into him, but also just so much grace towards human beings, because life is a lot. We've experienced a lot and we've gone through a lot of hard things. People have experienced a lot of trauma and deep trauma or little t trauma or the trauma of not receiving the thing that they need. And a lot of our world is hurting because of those things. And as much as I am someone that believes that we are each responsible for our own experiences and we each have to do that for ourselves, I also think it's very important to recognize that this person is a whole human being with years and years of experiences that have hurt them, that have harmed them, that have left them questioning themselves, questioning their self-worth, questioning possibly their reason for being here. And when you can bring that into your awareness, you can see them as someone that has experienced hurt, that has experienced pain, that has experienced life, that has also experienced the joys in life and the happiness of life, but also a lot of the lows. And I don't think that any of us have a right to say what is not okay or what is not okay when it comes to this level of mental health. What I do know that it needs to be known is that it's okay to not be okay. A lot of our world today isn't okay with not being okay. And because they're not okay with not being okay, you can find them projecting the fact that you're not okay as something wrong or bad, but it's not wrong or bad for something not to be okay. So whether this is you listening or for your partner, like it's okay that they're not okay. It's truly okay that they're not okay. And so as you start to wrap your mind around that, really leaning into treating these people that are struggling with mental health challenges or with their mental health is one, treating them like normal humans. I think that was something, and that what that means is getting curious about their process, being gentle about asking questions and treating like asking questions about their process and getting curious about what they're feeling. And that is actually going to be more supportive than you telling them what they need to be doing. Truly, like asking them what's going on with their process, inviting them to go deeper, and encouraging them to reach out to people that they feel safe with. So a lot of the times we think that we are the person that has to be responsible for creating that safety. Yes, there's a lot that we can do in creating that safety. And it's also totally okay if the person that you are in relationship with needs to find safety with someone else. So that could be a really good friend or a family member or a therapist or coach or mentor, whatever that is, whoever they feel safe with, feeling like you and I resonate, we're on the same level, I feel safe in this situation or in this container, invite them to find those moments. And you can do that through asking gentle questions, inviting them into that, and really taking it slow. I think sometimes when someone's struggling with their mental health and you're on the other side of that, we can tend to lose our patience or try to lose our understanding. But we are not in control of how quick someone can move through their process. Every single person goes through their process in a unique way, and it's beautiful that way. And just because we are uncomfortable with the fact that they're uncomfortable with their thoughts and emotions and their life does not mean that we have to rush their process so that we feel better in the moment. And I think that's something very important to recognize, because someone's process is someone's process. The steps that they take, wherever they take them, is what they need to meet them in that journey. You can be a part of that process by being a support, an ear, place to bounce back and forth ideas on, to listen, to hear, but to tell the person how they need to do something could potentially, one, disconnect you from them, because that's maybe something that they don't need or want. And then secondly, it can also potentially move them in a direction that they don't need. This human experience and this life, no matter how many lows or how many hearts we have or how many lessons we're going through or all the struggles we're going through in our own mental health and daily, it's up for us to learn those lessons. And it's important for us to figure out how to get through those experiences. And so every individual going through that experience, it's important for them to experience that. Because in experiencing that, they start to engrave that and feel more confident in themselves by taking them steps themselves. And it's important for them to build that muscle. As you move through understanding and empathy, I think it's also important for you to balance your own well-being in this process. And so I think it's easy to get caught up in the emotions, the heaviness of mental health, also just constantly going back to that space. If we as human beings supporting other human beings are not resourced enough, are not able to take care of ourselves through self-care practices, through our own containers, through our own therapists, our own coaches, our own mentors, our own daily life, we won't have enough to fully show up for that person. And so just like you, when you get on the airplane, they say, if there's an emergency, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. It's the same thing here too. I think that you got to take care of yourself so you do have the capacity to be with these things, so you can do these things with them and take care of yourself. So please balance your own well-being in that. In this category is kind of similar to what I touched on at the earlier of this episode, but this is where it's also a place to normalize the idea that it's okay to have good days while they may be struggling, and how to navigate that without minimizing their experience or your own. Because the truth is, like I said, let's say you go to work or you go to a workout class and you just had an amazing experience. Keep bringing that to the relationship. Share with them those experiences. Tell them how excited you are about something that happened in your life or a professional win or a personal win. Even when the other person may not be feeling those same things in their life, because one, you've got to keep yourself true That is your truth. And there is a very special way to also honor their truth. So like if they find themselves feeling jealous or triggered because you're having all of this success in your life and they're not, and they're taking it out on you, just realize that there's a part of them that is hurting. There's a part of them that is afraid. There's a part of them that might feel shame or guilt. And really coming into the relationship from that place and saying like, hey, I can see how this can be triggering. I can see how you can feel jealous. I can see that. Do you want to talk about that? Because when someone's in that space, that's kind of all that they see. When you are deep in your emotional process, really struggling with your mental health, it's really like a fog that is covering your eyesight. You can't see clearly. You are really just reacting and doing from a place of that fog that you're experiencing. And so if you are in a quote unquote better place to be able to navigate this with them, I invite you to open your heart, find patience. As you give yourself grace, remember to give them grace throughout this time as well. And bringing this all back, making sure that you are also experiencing the joys and the highs in your life. This also means the lows in your life. So sometimes when you are in relationship with someone that is struggling, you can get into the headspace of like, well, they're struggling. I don't want to add my struggle onto their struggle, right? So like, they're already sad. I don't want to burden them with my sadness, with my heaviness, with my issues, because they already have so many of that. That's going to leave you guys feeling disconnected. And while I understand that you're trying to keep them safe, protect them, do something better for them, one, you're doing yourself a disservice by not being fully honest about your sadness, your heaviness, your struggles, what you're navigating at this time. And so I want to invite you into still practicing that, you being honest with your experience, telling them about your anxieties, your anxious moments, or your struggles in your day. I promise you, if anything, it's going to allow you guys to feel closer in this. A lot of the times when we are trying to protect them from something and keeping ourselves from that experience, we end up creating this wall because we don't want to tell them about it. We don't want to share that with them for some reason. And it ends up keeping the person at a distance versus inviting them into your experience as well. And when someone is struggling with their mental health, they're already in some ways creating distance. They're isolating potentially. They're wanting to disconnect themselves from the world because that feels more comfortable. And so the more connection that you can both create in your relationship is actually going to serve so much further than creating these walls and these distances from each other in relationship. And when you start to not tell your partner or your friend about your hard days, it disconnects them from your human experience, which can create this snowball effect of them feeling further away from you and then you feeling further away from them. The next category here is communicating effectively during this time. And so what does that actually mean? So it's so important when someone is deep in their freeze state for you to realize that they are so overwhelmed by their emotions. The best thing that you can do is asking someone in their deep processes is just saying, hey, what's coming up for you right now? How are you? How are you feeling? I noticed your energy shift. Would you like to talk about it? They're very opening-ended questions. Or how can I support you at this time? And what I've learned through supporting my partner or my fiance, as well as other friends in my circle about that question about like, how can I support you at this time? A lot of the times in the moment, they don't know the answer to that. And so in order to create more effective communication when they are in the middle of an activated state or an episode or an emotional trigger or an emotional reaction that's taking them into a free state and then causing them to self-isolate, I would actually have that conversation before that. So like if there's other moments where they feel more heart open, more connected to themselves, more able to have these kinds of conversations, I would take the step of, hey, like something that I've been thinking about recently is that when you get into moments of being emotionally triggered or you distance yourself, what would be the best way to support you in those moments? How can I love on you during that time? What do you need from me? And they will tell you if they're like, I really don't know. You can start to give them examples such as like, would it be helpful for me to check in? Would it be helpful for me to just come sit next to you and put my arm around you and hold you? Would it be helpful for me to like invite you to go to a walk with me? Would it be helpful for me to ask you to do things so we can like get active? So like inviting them into tasks because it helps them kind of reorientate to the room, kind of bring their walls down a little bit, for example. And so first asking them like, what do you think you need in those moments or what's going on when you're in those experiences so you can get some understanding, and then asking them what they need or their want. And so when they're in those moments, you can actually show up for them in the way that they need. And, you know, I think it's important to check in on that. So like as you have those kinds of conversations with your person or with someone that you love so deeply, maybe check in once a quarter about like, hey, like I've realized that things have shifted. Can we go back to that conversation about how I can support you when you get into these trauma responses or these experiences or emotional reactions? And so making sure that you're just keeping up with the journey. Everyone is so different. Some people really just want to be held. Some people don't want to be talked to. Some people want to be asked how they're doing. Some people want to create a space just to vent without you taking it personally. And so really inviting that kind of conversation, I think, is really going to help communicate effectively in those moments or in those seasons or in those episodes where emotions are heightened, maybe some numbing, some disassociating is happening because of the overwhelm of the emotions. As you're doing that, as you're having those kinds of conversations, I really think fostering an environment between you and them is very important. So I've touched on this a little bit and sprinkled it in, but I really want to call it out specifically is that I want to encourage like open-mindedness and acceptance and love and grace. So when someone feels like their emotions are validated or their experience is okay, there's actually so much more room for healing in that moment versus feeling like there isn't openness or there isn't acceptance or love or safety. They will close off, and that can actually do them more a disservice and prolong the process that they're in. And so truly creating a safe space, really encouraging value and respect for one another in those containers, because again, you are a human and they are human. And it's so easy to get caught up in the mix. And the key thing here is to find a way within yourself to realize that this person that is going through their experience, it's valid. It's really happening. That is their reality. And we cannot change that for them, but we can be in it with them and try and support them through it by creating this space of open-mindedness, acceptance, really fostering an environment where everyone's experiences in the relationship, in the container, in the room are valued and respected. And I really want to double down on this as well, is that I just want to remind the audience and the listeners here that it's truly okay to not be okay, both for the person that is experiencing mental health challenges, that is struggling in this season, and for those supporting them. I think we can get into this place of hyper-focusing on the person that is not okay, and then we can forget about ourselves. And I just want to invite you to like your fullest expressed self is honoring your experience and also expressing yourself and reminding you as the listener that if someone else is going through a hard time and you are not doing okay, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to find this season challenging. It's okay that you're experiencing the emotions and the distress and uncomfortability and unknowing and fear of not having to handle this. Like, it's okay. You as the supporter, it is okay. And I want to invite you as the supporter in this situation to someone that's mentally challenged, facing mental health challenges, is really finding those spaces too where you can be fully honest and vulnerable with your experience, where you can truly express what's coming up for you, even if you think that you don't have a right to be feeling those ways. If you know anything about this podcast or know about me, like, I'm a huge believer that every single part of us within us deserves a space to express itself, to have the room for it. And there is no part that is wrong or right, that is not respected or disrespected, that is less than or more than within us. Every part of our experience, because we are human beings, we experience multiple things at the same time, is valid. So we can have so much love for the person that we're in this relationship with, and we can have a lot of anger towards them because of certain things. We can feel deep sadness and guilt and shame and have so much love for this person as well. And we cannot do ourselves a disservice as the supporters of the person that is going through mental health challenges to forget that part too. Because if we forget that part too, then we are also going to struggle with our mental health. Our entire human experience wants to be here. It wants to live fully. It wants to be expressed. And in this process, it's so important for you too to also find the spaces, the relationships, the rooms, the communities where you can truly express all of yourself. And so as I start to really wrap this up today, I want to highlight the key things that we chatted today. One is, how do you, in supporting loved ones through their mental health while staying true to yourself, it's so important to lean into understanding and empathy, to balance your own well-being, communicate effectively, and to avoid the stigma and the shame that comes with navigating being in relationship with someone with mental health, or them for the person that is going through mental health challenges, and truly accepting imperfection. So again, it is okay to not be okay. It is okay for your partner to not be okay. It is okay for your friend to not be okay. It is also okay that you're not okay while they're not being okay. It is totally okay. It's so important for us to love these people wholeheartedly and create spaces where they feel so seen, so validated, and so invited, and so held. And it's so important for you to stay true to yourself and your experience as well. Whether that is you experience pure bliss in the middle of someone else's chaotic day, or you also feeling chaos when someone else is in the middle of their chaos, and vice versa. Like, let's say the other person steps into their joy and you're in the middle of your chaos. Everyone's experience is here to be experienced, to be expressed, and each individual in relationship has the opportunity to be true to themselves. We get to also create the support system, the structure that I shared with you today, for someone to also feel fully expressed in their mental health challenges, as well as you as the supporter in this scenario. As I start to wrap things up, the last thing I want to say is that if you are someone that is navigating mental health challenges, that you have found yourself in deep moments of anxiety and depression or negative spirals or self-isolation or numbing to the world, I hear you. I see you. I love you. You are so, so loved. And it's so important for you to know that the world is better with you here. And for the person that is supporting someone else through their mental health challenges, wow, what a gift that this person has you in their life, to love them, to see them, to heal with them, and for you to also experience this life to the fullest. I truly believe that every single person that is listening to this, or that gets to listen to this, and even the people that are not listening to this, have the opportunity to and should always be validated in their experience, invited into expressing their emotions. And it is totally valid for that person to also ask and receive what they need in those moments, even when we do not understand, and always staying true to our truth so that we can continue to live our lives fully expressed as well as we do this life with other people that we love, that we see, that we get to experience this life with. Because at the end of the day, as human beings, we crave connection, and being in relationship with someone is literally the most healing playground that God has invited us into. And when we can create these spaces like the one that I shared with you today, it is probably going to be one of the most healing spaces. And healing leads to expression, to our personal evolutions, to more, to love, the bliss, the deep connections that are so available to every single one of you. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to the Fully Expressed podcast episode today. We're going to keep this on the theme of mental health for the Mental Health Awareness Month. Next week, we're going to have a very dear friend come onto the podcast. She is someone that has navigated being neurodivergent, ADHD, and her own mental health challenges. So you'll be able to hear directly from her what it's like to struggle with ADHD, to struggle with the deep trauma, to navigate mental health and still find a way to fully express herself in this life. And so I'm excited for you all to listen to her. She's absolutely amazing. And she's a deep sister of mine. So please stay tuned for next week's episode. Sending you so much love, and I'll talk to you guys soon.